We welcome you all to our noonday Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. We welcome those on the podcast. We are in the book of Revelation, and we're starting today in chapter 21. We're really winding it down. I would like to suggest that you really take special note in what's happening in these last two chapters. Because the previous chapters were rough, real rough. But even in the roughness, it's almost like when David writes his Psalms, he starts out calling on God or complaining or making, you know. But when he finished up, he was praising God. So likewise here, it's rough. But at the end, it's telling us God is still on the throne. He's still victorious. He is still God, and there is no other God. So with that, let's see. Can we have someone read 21. Can someone, we have someone read verses 1 to 3, please.
Now I saw a new heaven, mm-hmm. a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Mm. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God."
Okay. And so we see the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're coming, this is now the new city. Does anybody have any thoughts of what the scripture says, and there was no more sea? Any thoughts about that? No more sea. No more oceans, no more seas.
No, but somewhere right here I read some time ago mm-hmm. about in Revelation about a glassy, it wasn't a sea, but it was a glassy thing, and he called it looked like a glassy sea.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm assuming there was no waves and mm-hmm. things like that, like normally be in an ocean or whatever, but it just looked like a glass. I don't know exactly what verse it was.
I remember where you're talking about that. I think in that context, it was showing that you could see.
Yes.
You could see underneath, but there was there was nothing there. Mm. Just a point of reference. We have global warming, and there are sea changes, and there was a scientist that I think a couple of weeks ago I heard that by 2025, most of the Florida area will be
on the water.
Mm-hmm. Wow, parts of California as well.
Yes, in wow. California, right. So you're looking at that, and then you're going to see. So you say, "Well, okay, if they're going to be all underwater and there's going to be no more sea, it just shows you how what we see as climatic changes are all the work of the Lord. Remember, the earth is moaning and groaning. The earth is out of order." It's out of order. God never intended for hurricanes and stuff like that. This is a result of sin. This is a result. So, but people in the world, they don't understand this. They see it, everything is based on science. But it's out of order, and they tell. And we read previously, I think in 19, where when the Lord comes, the earth rejoices, because finally she's at rest. You know, there was no animals in the garden eating each other.
No.
Everybody was a vegetarian.
That's right.
You know, and John the Baptist, you know, people say, you know, locust, but it wasn't real locust like the bug. It was a tree with a nut that's, you know, they called the locust tree that he ate from. He didn't eat real locusts, you know. So it's amazing how you know we the more we look at just the in the scriptures, the things, and begin to see how awesome God is, and how and today, you know, when you hear about what's all going on in the world with all the diseases and all the stuff that happened, you got to know that's coming. You got to know that's coming. But no famine will come nigh thy house. Famine is not just disease. It's a lack of anything. It's something that will come to destroy you or to hurt you. It could be finances. It could be physical. It could be whatever. But it won't come nigh thy house. So I just wanted to, you know, because I remember hearing a teaching where the teacher said, and when there in the New Jerusalem, there will be no more seas. And I said, oh, that means I won't be able to swim with the dolphins. You know? So I always want to swim with the dolphins. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But what he said is more than we can even imagine.
Yes.
So that just took that right away. Okay. Mm-hmm. I said, well, if that's it, then it's greater than that. You know.
But in Genesis, when he made all of this, you think he had real water?
Yes. Because remember, you had the five rivers coming out of the Garden of Eden. You know. So yeah, that was real water.
He also said
in Noah's Ark,
that point she was talking about, that he set the boundaries for the water.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. He set the boundaries.
In other words, it would only come so far.
See, and that's what I'd like to, you know, an oceanographist, scientist, say, how can you figure out how the waters just stop right at a certain, how did that happen? You know, since we just came from apes, we evolved from apes and everything, so we just, you know, we got to a certain knowledge out of the monkey state with all this, tell the water. No, it doesn't.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
You
know. So.
You was talking about the locust tree. I always thought of locusts as being, you know, one of the 10 plagues back in Pharaoh time.
But that was the real locust. That was the bug.
And I never heard of no locust tree.
Yeah. It's a nut. Whether it grew on a tree or a bush, But that's what he
look at it and see what kind of
So okay, so we have and then what do we have? This we hear this great voice. This great voice is who? Great voice coming out of heaven saying what?
Yes, well, I in this instance, I think that this is an angel announcing to men, because this is all kind of like after the dragon, I think, or the beast has been thrown into the pit, and this is before. But the dragon had been, not the dragon, I mean the beast
was,
and the false prophet has been thrown into the pit.
A beast.
No, he said into the fiery lake.
The angels are the announcers in the scriptures. Now these are they announce what's going to happen and so forth. So this is the angel telling us that he will dwell with them, God will dwell with us, and he will be their people, and so forth. So let's go to 4 and 5, someone, and then we'll have a summary.
And God cap. Shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
Okay. So what we are seeing is the restoration of Eden. We're coming back to the original state of what God had intended for his humanity, his people, his creation. Excuse me. What we see here now that John sees, the vision now turns its focus to the rewarded saints, those who remain faithful. This new beautiful world that we're seeing that came, this is the beautiful world that came under the curse of sin. Eden came under the curse of sin. And now we're seeing everything being reversed into with a new world. You see? When it was under the curse of sin, everything was under the curse. Mm-hmm. We born into a sin nature, and all the little grandchildren and everybody else before, and the earth. So now we have this beautiful world down that came under the curse of deception. At the beginning, is now being restored as God creates a new heaven and a new earth is being restored. God's original purpose in the creation of earth is fulfilled as it is made the eternal home of the redeemed. There God establishes the new Jerusalem, the capital city of his glorious kingdom. Now, the earth itself, which sin has so defiled, is to be exalted and honored above all other worlds in the universe. Now, for the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he will be their God. Mm-hmm. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, sorrow, or crying. Neither shall there be any pain. The redeemed of the earth will enjoy peace, perfect health, eternal life, and a continual growth in their knowledge and love of God. And you can, study reading, here are some scriptures that you want to reference. Isaiah 11:6-9.
6 through 9.
Isaiah 33:24. Isaiah 35:5-10. And John 14:1-3. All of these scriptures will reference the what the new earth, the redeemed, will.
John 14:1-3.
Now, there the powers of the body and mind. Listen, this is what, when I got this, this really helped. Got a lot from this. The powers of our body and mind will continue to develop. Now, see, you got a new body.
I read it somewhere.
You got a new body.
Yeah.
And you're going to continue to develop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that means I will continue to love fried chicken or something. You know, no, this one.
He said that we don't know what he has prepared for
us.
And so we're constantly learning new things about him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read that somewhere.
Yes.
Somewhere I was studying.
So we will continue to develop the intellectual, mm-hmm. spiritual, and social faculties will continue to broaden and expand. Now, when we get to heaven, yeah, you know, see, people got this thing, we're going to be floating on something with harps and all that kind of stuff. No, it's going to be a real world. There are going to be governments and entities, and people are going to be looked after and grown and taught and so forth. But instead of being taught of the world system, we'll be taught of the things of God, and his, which is eternal. Mm. So that means you never stop learning. Huh? Mm. You never stop growing.
You think how this is going to affect the people with Alzheimer's and dementia?
No, it won't affect them, because once.
I mean, on Earth, when they get to heaven.
But they won't know that. Once we are resurrected, excuse me, once they are rather they are resurrected in the carter, or they come when Jesus comes to get the right, this thing won't be the same. It's a new body. You won't know you had Alzheimer's. You know? All you gonna know is that, woo, this is new, and this is great. You know, you won't. So, you won't have no pain. You won't even have any identity of pain. You know, and that's the, oof.
Won't have Arthur no more. I just storm him.
As we increase in knowledge, that we won't forget things that we have learned.
Oh, no, you, it's not, see, we're getting too intellectual with this. Stay spiritual, okay? Because here he's telling you, you're going to be a new person. And what we got here, this is like baby food. You going up to lobster firmador, spiritually, you know. You'll never forget, because you love him, so you won't forget that this all that we're getting here just as enhances our love for the Lord. Do you get that? Do you see that? So you'll be so, listen, I'm trying to get y'all to like me. I know it's hard, but I know I'm a little off the chain. But just all new, just new, just awesome new stuff you've never seen. You said you'll be like a child jumping around. Ooh, this is so good. I mean, you know, I can't wait.
So we think about it like being a baby.
Yes.
Starting from scratch.
And Brother Simon, go ahead.
But I was going to say, like, even scientists just studying humans now, they said we probably only use about 20% of our brain already. So even if, I mean, and to me, that leaves a lot of room for growth even on this earth, even before Christ takes over and is ruling. And then now we're going to have a glorified body. Whoa!
Then also understand the fact that this is totally new. He mentioned a new heaven and a new earth.
Right, that's the key.
You go back to Genesis, I think somebody mentioned about the animals was eating.
I did,
about the meat and stuff like that. You know, we was vegetarians. So understand the old heaven, old earth is no longer in existence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They say heaven is coming down. Damn. New earth, new heaven, all together. So everything is new.
Right.
And he said when the new Jerusalem comes down, it's going to sit in the Mount of Olives. That's where it's going to be placed. And then it was just so exciting, you know, just start reading it and everything, and then comprehending it. And about the 12 gates and the angels, you know, I had to talk about that.
Well, hold.
It's just, I'm getting ahead of myself, okay?
Here's some more goodies for you. Okay, the treasures of the universe will be open for study. At every hand are new delights to enjoy, new wonders to admire, new truths to comprehend. New truths to comprehend, and the company of the unfallen beings who share the joy and the wisdom gained through the millennia spent in the contemplation of God's handiwork. So what we're saying here is that, like you said, Brother Bob, everything is new. Mm-hmm. I mean, joys that we have now that we experience, and I could speak for myself that I've had some wonderful joyous experiences with the Lord personally. That's going to be blasted out, you know, when we get where we're going. So what we have here is that, and the years of eternity, as they roll, will continue to bring more and still more glorious revelations. Wow. Yeah. Here's what God said: "For I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." I try to get a little bit of imagination of it, but I just can't seem to get, you know, so I just, even just trying to imagine, I can't even, my imagination can't even, because it shows you how limited we are in humanity. So that's why I started out saying that, yeah, we had some real rough 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. But here comes the wonderful goodies. Mm. The dessert. The dessert. Okay. any other thoughts before we move on?
I have one. when Bible was saying everything would be changed, everything would be new. Okay, now when we how will God, will we know God, say if He wanted to talk to us personally, will we just know by the Spirit, or will we have names?
Listen, he said he knows your name now. Mm-hmm. Don't you think He don't know your name?
But is it going to be changed, though, from Francis to
we
what?
There are things that we will not know.
He'll give you your name.
You know, there are things that we just can't just put in a.
Yeah.
We can't put in a I can't
wait and see.
But you see, this shows you. No offense. This shows you how the human mind goes. Mm-hmm. We always try to connect everything.
Spiritual with the.
Yeah. With the way we think. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it don't work that way. And once you get to the point where you say, "Okay, Lord, I don't understand all this, but I know You far better than I am, mm-hmm, so I'm just rolling with You."
Mm-hmm. But I'm just rolling with You. He says our name gonna be written down, but He gonna have Francis.
You know, but you know, this is where I think a lot of people get stuck in Revelation or many parts of the Bible, because they, and not you, Francis, but even I have been conscious of trying to place human.
Uh-huh. Into spiritual.
Intellect with yeah. spiritual things. Yeah. They yeah. just, and you have to get, if you really believe what God is saying, you have to come to points where you say, "Lord, I don't understand this, but I know You know, mm-hmm. and You'll give me what I need to know. I just believe Your word." Mm-hmm. And that way you won't allow, and I don't give the enemy no credit, you won't allow your own mind to attack yourself with questioning. And that's when you can get, not you, Francis, but you can get in some dangerous when you start questioning. Mm-hmm. You're not the enemy. I don't get the enemy, because see, the enemy long planted that questioning a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But as we grow in the Lord and our faith and our belief in Him, you begin to burn that. You begin to destroy that seed that was planted. When you just humble yourself and say, "I don't know, Lord, but I trust You." Mm-hmm. But when you start intellectualizing your mind, you can get messed up. And that's where a lot of us get with Scripture in the body of Christ. Let me just put it that way, in Christendom. You cannot. The things of spiritual things can never mesh with the world. The Lord, the wisdom of the world is foolishness to the Lord. Yes, sir.
I was trying to enlighten something. I read it somewhere, and recently, because I read across these chapters, even though I wasn't coming here, but each of us will have a name that he will give to us, a name that he knows and you know. Okay. That's like somewhere I was reading in chapter 20 here, but he will have a name that he knows what it is. Okay. And I think that we kind of sometimes, like trying to think with our mind, we kind of make God kind of small. You know, if God has an angel that's standing up there clothed with the sun, I mean, we got to expand the way we think of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True.
It's like a hand grenade and an atom bomb or something, a hydrogen bomb. Mm-hmm. I mean, the power ratio, you know, that we're going to be smart, but we ain't going to be even, we're going to be so much smarter than what we are now, mm-hmm. but we ain't going to be even in the range of what
Because what we have in the capsule summary statement is that we are, when we get to the new, when we get into our new homeland, we will be constantly developing in the knowledge and the things of God eternally. And I can't grasp what eternal here, you know.
That's right.
So, you know.
Yeah,
so, I guess, and I'm going to stop here. I don't want to take too much of your time with me. But I find now that the older I get, the more I am so awed with God and his majesticness and his awesomeness, that I am so little nothing, you know, and I'm so little nothing without him, 'cause I didn't know how dumb I was. Until I begin to say, okay, Lord, you have it your way. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we have in our in the world, in our culture, we're told to be competitive and always on the cutting edge. And the more you know, the more you're respected and people will honor you and so forth. And you can know so much about the world and be the biggest fool because you don't believe in God. And if you really open your eyes, you can see it on display every day in front of you with people who are in position of power, you know. And that's why the Lord, now I see why the Lord said, pray for those in authority over you. Because they are some real, I mean, when you got grown people going around gaslighting folks with their mouth, that's what you used to do in junior high school and elementary school.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know no better. Even you wouldn't let your grandmother, your mother know you was doing it. Did you get in trouble? But that was that little bully stuff in you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that sin nature. But you got grown folks now going around just... You got to pray. And they make decisions. I mean, we done seen some stuff in the last 2 days with our leader that is enough to, you know, they say hair on fire. No, you just say, Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
You know. So, anyhow, I just wanted to say that I found from my own personal growth and growing in my faith that my submitting to the Lord and humbling myself and saying that I need you. I need you to give me wisdom and discernment. I get so much, I have so much peace with things that happen now that I didn't have before that used to rattle me or have me, you know, you know how you get?
Yeah.
Now, it's like, I know you see this. I know you knew that I would be going through this before I was in my mother's womb. And you called me and you chose me. And you told me that I was victorious, that I'm victorious because I've been redeemed by the blood. That's it. Sorry, I just had to say that.
That's good.
You know, I mean, I just encourage you to humble yourself. And it's okay, you know, to tell the Lord, you know, I messed up and I thought I had it right, mm-hmm. and I didn't console you. I didn't come to you, consult with you, and you know. And I'm just from my own personal experience, he is such a doting father. I could just like in my spirit feel him saying, yeah, I know. I know love. And that just make you want to just do backflips. He's so wonderful. Look at us today. We never thought when we was 20 or 30 we was going to live this. But as we started gaining more years, we mm-hmm. saying, okay. But then you look now at you and look at some of the people that you know, rather they're, especially the unsaved ones, the conditions that they're in, you know, if they are age, they're in pretty sad condition, most of them.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And we have to even pray for some of them in the household of faith, because they're not really seeking the Lord, because they're being wooed by the philosophies of this mm-hmm. world and the misrepresentation of the word.
Mm. Yes.
So look at us here. This is enough to make us want to throw up our hands and holler. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I just have to testify today. I just have to testify how God is so good to us. We can go home and we got a bed, we got food. We can dress ourselves. We can even encourage others. We still. He's good.
Amen.
He's good. He's good. All right, so moving on, we're going to, can we have someone to read us 6 to 8, verses 6 to 8?
And he said to me, it is done.
Mm.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the mountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelievers, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
The second death. So I think earlier someone, if my memory serves me right, was saying, you know, when we die, you know, that's the death. That's when you are, when we die, we are just basically, we are asleep. Our spirits are asleep, you know. So, but the second death is the eternal death, and believe me, people will know when they going. They will know when they're going. See, God, who is the beginning and the end of all things, says it's done. Mm-hmm. Jesus said it's done, and he is God in flesh on the cross. His Father, and the Father says it's done. The great controversy is ended. There's no ands, ifs, and buts. The rebellion is all over. The entire universe is once again in harmonious accord. Mm. Mm. And he will make an utter end, and affliction shall not rise up in the second time. That's in Nahum 1:9. Now, someone turned to Nahum 1:9. It follows the book of Micah before the book of Habakkuk. It's a little one. Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
Nahum. Want to read chapter 1, verse 9. Because I want somebody with a different translation. You have it?
I got it.
What translation you have?
New King James.
Okay.
I have the New King James.
Who else has another translation?
I just have the King James.
You have the New King James, Sandra? Read the New King James, Sandra, please.
What do you conspire against the Lord? He will make an utter end of it. Affliction will not rise up a second time.
Okay. So what the Lord is saying here, and he's now this is in the before we get to this was given before we even got to Revelation 21. It's telling you know, the whole book from Genesis on through just is a, it just tells you about the journey, God's plan. So Jesus invites every thirsty soul with these precious words of welcome. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. That's in John 7:37. I will give to him that is athirst of the water of life freely. And verse 6, he promises that the overcomers will inherit all things, but the wicked will have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. I was using Nahum as showing us, you know, how God all through the book is speaking of things to come. He's telling us from the prophets and the writers, all this is just a roadmap to victory. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's a roadmap to victory. So we have, let's see, what is our time looking like? I guess we'll just go here and we'll go from 9, read verses 9 to 14. So if someone could read 9 and 10, 11, 9 to 11, and we'll finish up at 14.
And that came unto me, one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talk with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal.
Okay. All right, now we're getting some real descriptions here. Who wants to take 12 to 14?
Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gate, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, three gates on the west. 14.
Yes, sir.
Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Okay.
Who?
That's it. Just at 14. Okay. Comments. Questions that so far, thoughts on what we've now we're beginning to see not just the symbiosis of 12, but the actuality of what the 12.
Well, what I'm getting from it is the description, a clearer description of the city of Jerusalem that's coming down from heaven. And what I mean so far is pretty near, it's like he told Moses to set up the tabernacle. Thus far.
That is in parallel with that. That is in parallel with that.
Well, actually, it's the heaven that's coming down to create the new Jerusalem.
Right. And the tabernacle represents when Moses was, let me see, how can I explain this? The tabernacle is a place of worship. Mm-hmm. The New Jerusalem will be a place of eternal worship.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's where I took the holy city. It constantly calling it the holy city.
Holy city. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So we see one of the angels poured out the seven last plagues. And now he directs John's attention, the angel, to the holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. It is shining with the glory of God and sparkles like precious jewels, which we just read in 11. Now, the city is a perfect square. Now, this is where Mr. Numbers Man will come in. The city is a perfect square that you'll see in verse 16. It's surrounded by a high wall, which we will read in verse 12, and has 12 gates, three on each side of the city, which we read in verse 17. On each gate, it is the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? So you got the 12 gates, verse 12. There are also 12 foundation, okay, inscribed with the names of who?
The apostles.
There you go. Yeah. 24 elders.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just want to point out, noteworthy, that the number 12 can possibly, that I can possibly place, well, I just pointed it out, showed you, places emphasis on the continuality of the New Testament church and the Old Testament people of God. In the apostle, the tribes and the apostles.
Right.
Yeah, the 12. I also have some notes on showing you the number 12 and other things. I'll bring that next week for you. But you see what a marvelous tie-in from the 12 tribes. That's why we got to understand the Jewish people and Israel and the Old Testament. Can't just wipe it out and just say, okay, We're under grace and not under the law. We are not under the Levitical law, but we're still under God's law.
Yeah.
And so don't when they say I'm not under law, I'm under grace. Au contraire. But that is just so tasty, the tribes and the apostles. I mean, just the mind of God is just, oh, I just love it. I love it. Okay, well, we're gonna end here, and we'll pick up next week at where are we? It's 15. Yes, sir. And. We'll continue at the end of 15, but there's so much to pick from in here that we can't do it in an hour, but it's just so much that we can glean from this. Excuse me, Father. We thank you for this wonderful time that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us understanding,
yes.
Clarity, Lord. Thank you for choosing us and keeping us with such this time, Lord. Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight.
Yes, Father.
O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And let the redeemed of the Lord say, Amen. Amen.